الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استفيدوا الصلاة معه. Please complete the salah, stating the rows and filling all the gaps. الله أكبر. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brother, as you know that it was announced in Juma Salah as well, that inshallah every Fridays after Asr Salah, we will be having tafsir of the Quran, the last 10 surah, which will be delivered by Mawlana Abu Bakr Siddiq Sa. So inshallah, all brothers are kindly requested to participate and benefit. Whereas inshallah, the starting will be from Surah Fil. And inshallah, going through all the last 10 surahs, these 10 surahs, as we recite them in our salah, so first of all, to understand the translation, at least to know what we are reading. We regularly, or most of us, read these surahs in our salah, so to at least know the translation, and then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us and what He wants from us, the lessons that we can be learned in the next 10 weeks, inshallah, through these tafsir courses. So I request all the brothers, inshallah, to participate in every single week of these programs. Inshallah, it will be delivered in English. Please participate and benefit from these tafsir sessions. Jazakallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa ala سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. Brothers are kindly requested to come forward close to the minbar. Jazakallah. Muftisa will be starting, inshallah, from Surah Fatiha. My apologies, I thought it was going to be the last 10 surahs, including the Surah Fatiha, inshallah. And as we know, Surah Fatiha is one of the most important, the main part of the Quran where we recite in every salah and every rakat. So at least for the Surah Fatiha session where we need to know the translation, inshallah, brothers can, inshallah, the Muslim Muftisa will be doing this Surah Fatiha today, inshallah. Brothers are kindly requested to participate. Jazakallah.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa habibana wa sanadana wa mawlana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. I begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and remembering those Sahaba and the scholars that came after my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and will continue to come till the day of Qiyamah. And the reason why it is very, very important for us to begin everything by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, is because the honor that we have been granted with today, the honor to be able to speak about, the honor to be able to listen to and to discuss the teachings of the Holy Quran, or only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam upon us. It was through their favor that we are sitting here today, and to understand the magnitude of this favor, it is extremely important for us to understand the importance of the Quran from the perspective of Islamic epistemology. And that is that the Holy Quran is the primary source of knowledge for all Muslims. All the knowledge we have, all the Islamic knowledge that we have, that we possess, that we act upon on a day-to-day basis, they all come from the Quran, and the Quran only and nothing else. After this, we have a hadith, and we have the sayings and the deductions of the scholars. All of this are produce of the information and the knowledge of the Quran. And to understand this, we will explain that how, inshallah, in the coming weeks, we will be doing and explaining the tafsir of many different surahs. But how do we explain the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word of Allah is so, you know, deep, is so difficult to understand. How can we humans, generally speaking, we are laymen, how can we understand the deep speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the answer is that, generally speaking, we learn tafsir through three avenues. The first one is a tafsir bit tafsir. A tafsir al-Quran bil-Quran, meaning that a verse of the Holy Quran is explained through another verse of the Holy Quran. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention something very simply or very short. And in another place in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will explain this. And so the ulama take these other verses with more information in them, and they will use them to explain these shorter verses. And this is the most sahih, the most authentic, and the most powerful form of understanding and doing tafsir. The second avenue through which we learn tafsir is through the hadith of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The field of hadith itself is a whole other story. It's a whole science. We have sahih hadith, you have ma'ruf, mawquf, da'if, all of the mawdu'at. There's a whole different field. But generally speaking, the second way of understanding tafsir, if we look at how my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained verses, how he acted upon certain verses, and we take this knowledge from there. And the third way that we understand tafsir is through the sayings and the deductions and the summaries of the scholars. And one condition for this third way of taking information and taking tafsir of the Quran is that so long as these sayings of the scholars do not go against the Quran and Hadith, do not go against the clear teachings of the Quran and Hadith, they can be accepted. And the mercy of Allah in this third avenue is that we come to a point where the Quran, the knowledge of the Quran is limitless. Says that I have heard so many scholars and so many of my own teachers who have taught tafsir for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but they say that every year when we teach the same verses again, another thing comes to mind. Another piece of knowledge comes to mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up another thing. You see, libraries full of tafsir, and there's still ulama today who are still writing more tafsir. It's been 1,400 years plus since the Quran was revealed, but 1,500 years later we find that ulama are still writing new tafsirs. Right? So this third avenue Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up to the scholars, and it means that the Quran, the knowledge of the Quran is limitless, inshallah, will continue till the day of Qiyamah. Moving on, we begin, just like I did, we begin every time we sit to pray the Quran, we begin our recitation with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim and bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Now inshallah I'll speak a little bit about this before we actually move on to the tafsir of bismillahir rahmanir rahim. What is the reality of A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim and bismillahir rahmanir rahim? The reality of A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, firstly to translate, We are saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, I seek refuge, billahi, with Allah, minash shaitanir rajim, from the rejected shaitan, from the accursed shaitan. The reality of A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim is that we are making a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, I beg that you cleanse me of the effects of shaitan upon me, and you protect me from shaitan now, and in the future, whilst I am carrying out this recitation of the Qur'an, Ya Allah, I beg you to protect me from the shaitan and his attacks. And after that, we have Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, the meaning of which is I begin with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. And this Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, allow me to come into your mercy. Allow me to come into your protection. And so to understand simply what we are doing here, it's a very simple thing. We do generally speaking in our day-to-day lives. When we want to adorn ourselves with something new, something clean, something nice, beautiful. For example, today is the day of Jumu'ah. And most of us, alhamdulillah, we would have had the sunnah ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah. So what we generally speaking is when we want to wear new clothes on the day of Jumu'ah or the day of Eid, the first thing we do is we wash our bodies. Nobody wakes up in the morning as in that halat and condition and puts on their brand new clothes on a dirty body. No. The first thing we do is we wash our bodies, and when we are feeling nice, fresh and clean, we will adorn ourselves with new clothes. If we are going to have a nice meal, or we are going to have a nice drink, a nice sharbah, the utensil that we are going to use, the first thing we do before we put the food inside is we clean it. If you have a dirty glass, we'll clean it, and then we will pull that sharbat inside. So we are preparing, with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, we are spiritually cleaning our hearts out. And with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we are preparing ourselves to enter into the mercy of Allah. So with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, we are cleaning our hearts out of all the filth, of all the filthy effects that shaitan has had upon us in the past. And we are preparing our hearts to take on and to adorn the beautiful, spiritually clean recitation of the Qur'an, so that the body and the heart is ready to attain the barakah and the blessings that come upon a person when he is reciting the Qur'an. So it's a cleansing. For example, as this Qandari rahimahullah writes, that this A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim is an anecdote. An anecdote is the medicine that's created for a specific illness. And this anecdote is created especially for shaitan, so that we are protected from him. Moving on, there are a few rulings with regards to A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. One ruling is that it is specific to the recitation of the Quran. So when we are Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim can be recited generally, and inshallah we will come into that in a couple of minutes. But A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim is a verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has commanded us in the Quran. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you read the Quran, recite A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So this is the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Majority of scholars have said that to recite A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim before commencing the recitation of the Quran, whether we are praying namaz or we are not praying namaz, it is sunnah. Some have also gone on to say that it is wajib, but generally speaking, an overwhelming majority of the scholars have said that it is sunnah. And Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is recited not just with the Quran, but everything else as well. Whilst another ruling that comes to mind, when we are reciting the Quran, we begin with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim and Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Whilst reciting the Quran, if a surah was to come, we pray Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, except if the surah is Surah At-Tawbah or Surah Al-Bara'ah, because over there's no Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Generally speaking, many scholars have said that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is a part of every surah. It's actually part of the surah. Whereas Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah here differs, and he says that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not part of the surah, but it is part of the Quran, and it has been positioned between every surah to differentiate between the surah. So it is part of the Quran, but it's not part of the surah. It will be given the same respect, and the same rulings will apply with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as the rulings of the remainder of the Quranic verses. For example, you are not allowed to recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim with the intention of reciting the Quran if you are in the state of janabah. If a woman is in her cycles, her menstrual cycles, she will not be allowed to recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim when she is reciting with the intention of the Quran. But if she is reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim with another intention, she is carrying out a chore in the house and she says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is okay. But the ruling will apply over there when it comes to the recitation of the Quran. Next, moving on, we have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, everything that we do in life should begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In one hadith narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, it comes in Musnad Ahmad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kullu amrin dhi balin lam yubda' bi bismillahir rahmanir rahim fa huwa abtar." That every matter of importance that does not begin with bismillahir rahmanir rahim, it is cut off. Abtar is a word of the Quran. It comes in inna atainakal kawthar as well. We'll get to that at the time, but it means cut off. And over here the ulama write that it means cut off from blessings. So the action that we carry out and we do not pray Bismillah before it will be void of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will be void of any barakah. So Rasulullah has commanded us that we should recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before everything. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like Allah has commanded us to recite A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, in the Quran, Allah has also commanded us to recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the Quran. And this actually happened on the very, very first revelation that came upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Hazrat Jibreel al-Islam, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord. So here there is an understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us that when you begin your recitation of the Quran, you recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Another reason for this was during the times of ignorance, called Zamane Jahiliyyah, and this is generally refers to the time before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a pre-Islamic era, the people of Arabia and other places as well, they would generally begin whatever task they were going to do with the names of the idols. And they would take the names of the idols to try and attain some sort of blessings. In the very first revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cancelled all of this out. No. We will recite with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will do everything with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three blessings that came to mind, and three virtues of reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim during every action that we do. One of them is that if we do this, we are constantly in the halat of doing dhikr. We are constantly doing dhikr of Allah all the time. And our hearts will become alive with the spiritual blessings that are gained from this. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said in a hadith, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. That the example of a person who remembers Allah and the example of a person who does not remember Allah is like the example of a living person and a dead person. And this is referring to the hearts of insan. That a person who does not do the dhikr of Allah, his heart is dead. But a person who does the dhikr of Allah constantly, all the time, his heart will become alive. And so one virtue of doing this is that our hearts will become alive and we will have developed a constant awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will help us to stay away from sin and it will help us to gain taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another virtue of reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is that we are doing shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it is we are doing, we are saying, Ya Allah, because of your help, because of your permission, because of your power, I am doing this. I am allowed to do this. I attribute my ability to carry out this action to you and to you only. For example, we are about to eat. So it is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us that He is giving us food. So we say, Bismillahi wa barakatil. Ya Allah, this food you have given me, I am thanking you. Because it was you that gave me this food. We are about to wear clothes. It's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recite the dua. We are attributing this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going to undertake a journey. The fact that we are able to undertake this journey. The fact that we are able to drive. The fact that we are able to travel. Ya Allah, it is your favor upon me. So we are constantly doing shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Ya Allah, you have allowed me to do whatever it is we do. And obviously, if we come into the habit of reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, everything we do, we won't do sins. Because who would say Bismillah before committing a sin? It makes no sense. So it will also help us to stay away from sins. Moving on to Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this is where the actual tafsir starts. As Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is part of the Quran, we will begin to analyze the words. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we will split up into two parts. First, we will begin with Bismillah, and then we will look at Rahmanir Rahim. So Bismillah is made up of three particles, if you want. Number one is the Ba, and this number two is the Ism. And number three is Allah. Now, Ba itself can have three different meanings. And so, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim can have three different translations. Number one, Ba can take the meaning of Musahaba. Musahaba means companionship. So, Ba means like, if you want to do in English, is with. So, I am with, starting with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm taking the name of Allah with me in whatever action I am going to carry out. Number two, isti'ana. We are, with the name of Allah, we are seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isti'ana means to seek help. And with ba, we are saying, Ya Allah, I take your help with me. And the third translation of the ba can be tabarruk. That Ya Allah, I seek your barakah and your blessings in this action that I am going to carry out. The next word, ism, is very simple. It simply means name. It simply means name, and we don't need to... You could go into a deep analysis, but there's no need, and there's less time as well. And we move on to the word Allah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah. Allah is the name, the main name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the greatest name. Some scholars have even said it is the Ismul A'zam. Very quickly, just to go into Ismul A'zam, in many, many prophetic traditions, we find this mention of Ismul A'zam. And generally speaking, it seems that the Ismul A'zam is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when taken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept any dua. Now this, the knowledge of the Ismul A'zam is something that is debated upon. It's nothing specific. We don't know exactly what these names might be. So scholars have said many, many differed in their opinions. For an example that comes to mind, there's a story of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam and the story of the Queen Bilqis. I will have to make the assumption that many of you already know this story because there's no time to go into it. But in a part of the story, inshallah, the time will come when we can discuss it. Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted the throne of Bilqis to be transported in front of him in a very, very short space of time. The queen Bilqis had set out already and she was heading to Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted the throne, which was under heavy security, to be so somebody to go there, steal the throne, bring it back before she gets here. So it was an impossible task. One of the jinn, Ifrit, in these stories in the 19th juz, Ifrit said that, "Oh Sulaiman, oh Nabi of Allah, I can bring this throne to you before you stand up from your place." And it was the adah, it was the habit of Sulaiman alayhi salam that he would sit in his place for half a day and he would deal with the matters that of a king, people coming and asking for favors or judgment, etc. So Ifrit sort of alluded that, "I can bring this to you in half a day." But it says in the Quran, قَالَ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَيَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ تَرْفُكَ. That, "Oh Sulaiman, I can bring the throne to you before you blink." And Sulaiman alayhi salam blinked, and Allahu Akbar, the throne was in front of him. So the scholars say, how did this person, who was this person, and how did he do it? So one of the opinions was that it was a very pious man who had the knowledge of Ismul Azam. So he took the Ismul Azam and he made the dua to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whom nothing is impossible, bought the throne. Again, I've just gone off on a tangent, but that is a little brief explanation of the Ismul Azam. And scholars say that, what does Allah's name mean? Many opinions again, but one of the most probably beautiful and all-inclusive is Allah is the name of that being who is the possessor of all of the good qualities in existence, and he is free of all the defects in existence. That is, and he has power over everything. That is the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'alam. Linguistically speaking, we now have a small issue. The meaning of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, linguistically speaking, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an incomplete sentence. Because if you take it word to word, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim means with the name of Allah, with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. But you would have noticed when I translated Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim the first time, I translated it as "I begin in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful." So where does this "I begin" come from? The reason this "I begin" is the solution to a linguistic issue that we face, that it is an incomplete sentence. So in Arabic, many times we have what they call a mahzuf ibara, where part of the sentence is dropped or deleted for whatever purpose it might be. And I'll get to that in a second. So here, the mahzuf ibara, the bit that has been dropped is ashra'u. Ashra'u, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I begin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of Allah, with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. So moving on to the fact, why were these words dropped? Again, scholars have many opinions. One of the opinions that make the most sense is that it is actually acting upon the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," read in the name of your Lord. So here we are actually acting upon it. We have taken ashrawa, we have taken the verb out, and we are starting directly with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So we are practically acting upon this commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next, the first two qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran are Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, generally speaking, we translate them as the most gracious, the most merciful, the most beneficent, the most merciful. But both of these words have the meaning of mercy in them, although they are slightly different. Rahman has the meaning of, in Arabic we will translate it as Amul Rahma, and Rahim will be translated as Tamul Rahma. Amul Rahma means, you could say, general mercy, or generic mercy. And It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy encompasses and is inclusive of every single being from the beginning of existence, from the beginning of time, from the first thing that Allah created to the end of time and beyond. Allah's mercy touches every single being, old, young, Muslim, non-Muslim. Allah's mercy is upon non-Muslims as well. And we can go into that, but it will take a long time. A typical example, a simple example of that would be that Allah has given them life. It's a form of mercy. Allah has given them hands. Allah has given them food. It's a form of mercy. And the meaning of Rahim is Tamur Rahman. Tamur Rahman means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is complete. It's not half. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy, He has complete mercy upon mankind and upon His creation. And it is for this reason that somebody else, ghayrullah, a being besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cannot be named Rahman. You will not find anywhere in Quran and Hadith where somebody has been named Rahman. But you can find in Quran and Hadith where somebody has been named Rahim. Because the sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rahman, that His mercy encompasses everyone from the beginning to the end, this is not something that mankind can be capable of. But Rahim, His complete mercy, this is a quality that we can be capable of. And an example of that would be in the Quran. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as Ra'uf al-Rahim. Because my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was merciful. And he had complete mercy. And another ruling that comes to mind over here is if somebody is called Abdul Rahman or Abdul Rahim, first of all, if his name is Abdul Rahman or Fadlur Rahman or whatever Rahman it might be, first of all, we should not call them Rahman for this very reason, because only Allah can be called Rahman. And second of all, any names with Abd before it, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Rahim, Abdul Jabbar, we should not name that person with this. Generally speaking, we do this where we have nicknames, we have short names, and at times I have friends who are called that, and at times I have been guilty of the same thing where we shorten the name and we end up taking just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. No, His name is, He is the servant of Allah, He is the servant of Rahman, He is the servant of Rahim. Are you calling Him Rahim? Is He Rahim or is He servant of Rahim? So for this very reason, we should be careful when it comes to these kind of names and always name them full, make a habit of it. Once the habit is there, then it is easy for us to continue with this, no matter how difficult the name is. Now, the ulama have gone into the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has started the Holy Quran by calling out these two specific qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many qualities, but why did Allah choose Suratul Fatiha? Why did Allah choose these two specific qualities in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, so that every time we begin our recitation, we talk about these two qualities? And the answer to that is that our very existence and the existence of all of mankind and all of creation has come about because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is through the mercy of Allah that we are here today. And it is through the mercy of Allah that everybody is in existence. And so this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating towards His mercy in one hadith on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. In Bukhari Sharif, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it was written upon the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. And in another narration, Inna rahmati ghalabat ghadabi. That my mercy has overpowers my anger. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us towards, that all my mankind, all my creation, I am merciful. Seek my mercy, take my mercy. And so many times throughout our day, throughout the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that Allah is inviting us towards His mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us so many opportunities to take advantage of His mercy. For example, the time now is between Asr and Maghrib, and it is the day of Jum'ah. It's a very blessed time and to make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts these du'as at these times. And like that, there are so many times throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified. Every night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to the first heaven and He says that He invites us, that come to me, talk to me, ask me, I will give you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. His mercy overpowers His anger. We should take a lesson and try to take advantage of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, we get to Surah Al-Fatiha. The session is nearly finished, so it seems like maybe Surah Al-Fatiha has to wait for next week. But we can begin. Ulama have listed many, many virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha. Fatiha itself, it means the opener. Al-Fatih, Fataha, Yaftahu means to open. And Al-Fatiha means the opener. And the reason why it is called the opener, it is because the Quran begins with Surah Al-Fatiha. Some virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha are that, number one, the Quran begins with it. Also, so namaz also begins with it. It means that whenever we pray Salah, we pray Surah Al-Fatiha in every single unit of prayer, every single rak'ah, we are praying Surah Al-Fatiha. Imagine how many times Surah Al-Fatiha is probably the most recited surah in the whole Quran. All over the world, every single day, every single salah, every time we stand up for sunnah, every time we stand up for nafil salah, we are praying Surah Al-Fatiha. And even in the rakats that we don't pray qira'ah, we'll pray Surah Al-Fatiha and then we go into ruku. So it is the most recited surah in the Quran. The Quran begins with it. It was the first surah that was completely revealed. Yes, the verses of Iqra were the first verses to be revealed, correct. But the entire surah was not revealed. It was the first five verses that were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Fatiha was the first chapter that was recited, that was revealed in completion from the beginning to the end. In a hadith, we find that there are many names for Surah Al-Fatiha. The Prophet ﷺ has called it Ummul Quran, the mother of the Quran. He has called it Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book. Some scholars come out with a very beautiful explanation or a beautiful virtue of Surah Al-Fatiha. You know, sometimes you have a book and then another author comes and he writes an explanation. In Arabic, we call it a hashia of that book, or a sharh, a commentary of that book. So generally speaking, you'll have the text at the top, and then at the bottom in footnotes, you'll have an explanation for each word of that text. So some scholars say that Surah Al-Fatiha is the book. The rest of the Quran is an explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha. That Surah Al-Fatiha, when we do go into the subjects covered by Surah Al-Fatiha, you'll understand how the subjects in the Quran are all covered in Surah Al-Fatiha. One other scholar says that Surah Al-Fatiha is a dua. We are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. We'll get into that later as well. And the entire remainder of the Quran is the answer for that dua. So we are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, guide me. So Allah is saying that, yes, I will guide you. Read the Quran. Your guidance is in the Quran. That's another very beautiful connection between Surah Al-Fatiha and the rest of the Quran. In Surah Al-Fatiha, it begins with, there are seven verses, and I'll stop at this. There are seven verses in Surah Al-Fatiha. The first three verses are us praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last three verses are dua from Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. And the middle verse is a combination of the two. So in Surah Al-Fatiha, to summarize, we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are making dua. In this, there is also a teaching, a lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us how to make dua, inshallah. These topics and the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha itself will commence next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon what has been heard and said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us sahibul Qur'an, the people of the Qur'an, the men of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the honor of the Qur'an accompanying us in the grave and being our intercessor on the day of Qiyamah. For the Qur'an is an intercessor whose intercession is accepted all the time. The Qur'an is a fighter. It will fight for us on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those people for whom the Qur'an fights. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى سَيِّدْنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ الْمِينَ. There's 2 minutes left. Very blessed time. You can use this time to make dua.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي الصلاة حي الصلاة حي الفلاح حي الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
سفيد الرسول المعالي الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين.